a reading from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me.
I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. I'm walking and talking with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah. Stayed on freedom.
with my mind. Stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind. Stayed on freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind. Wonder how many mornings that the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. woke up with freedom on his mind. We know his results, and we know how his relentless advocacy for civil rights eventually cost him his life. Leaving behind his beloved wife, Coretta, and four young children. I bet there were more days than not that Coretta wished her husband and the father of their children had listened to that call for freedom. Or at least that maybe he would have stopped listening and answering the call, especially when he and his family had been personally threatened so many times. During seminary, I focused all my large, intense, and difficult papers on two issues. First, the question of what does the Bible say about homosexuality? I knew that topic would be helpful in my ministry future. And I yearned to move beyond the sound bites for the sake of my own faith journey. And certainly, you need to know that I would not stand before you and others proclaiming an interpretation of an inclusive gospel without serious attention and serious study of the sacred scriptures we claim to hold so dear. The second issue that I focused on was that I studied Martin Luther King Jr. in depth. And I was so very blessed that one of my professors was an MLK Jr. scholar. He had gone to school with Dr. King. He had marched with Dr. King, Dr. Jimmy Kirby. And so I can tell you that while we see a hero in King's legacy, as we should, while we remember in a special way this weekend the life and work of Martin Luther King Jr., as we should, Martin had some difficult days. When he was jailed, he wrote an impassioned letter from Birmingham, which was powerful and prophetic from the irons that unjustly surrounded him. Another one of the most moving stories I remember is that at a particularly stressful time during the civil rights movement, Martin sat alone at his kitchen table long after his family had gone to bed, and he seriously considered withdrawing. He was tired, and he cried out to God, "I am weary." And yet he found renewed strength for a calling he knew he couldn't ignore at all costs. Dr. King would rely on the voices, singing African American spirituals. Miss Elnora, I saw you swaying to that African American spiritual. Dr. King would rely on those, and he recognized that those spirituals were born in the slave fields. Or they were heard from the belly of ships that carried them from their Africa homelands to America in humanity. These early spirituals, my friends, contain code words as a way to communicate, with one another their intentions to escape or to seek freedom. Or these African American spirituals were music and words to deal with the inhumane treatment at the hands of those in power and with privilege. In the height of the civil rights movement in the 1960s, Reverend Osby of Aurora, Illinois, created a revamp of the old gospel song, "I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus." He wrote that song while spending time in the Hinds County Jail during the Freedom Rides. I know that Dr. King heard this tune that we just heard John Legend sing so beautifully. I know that Dr. King heard this tune many times. And perhaps our hero, Dr. King, turned the volume up a bit during the days that he wanted to quit. Many times, Dr. King would be at the front of the lines of freedom, clasping hands and singing. And yet we know there were a number of times that he felt despair and the loss of hope. We might see similarities between Dr. King and the psalmist, their lamentations and their reliance of music, songs from God to rest their bodies and minds until the next sunrise, which promised to bring them new challenges. Listen again as John reads it.
"I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me."
See, the crying writer of Psalms is obviously distressed. And he too was tempted to give up. But then the psalmist reminds us that with patience, God heard his cry. And not only did God hear, but did you hear that God did something about it? What did God do? God put a new song in the mouth of the psalmist, and not just any song, my friends. Scripture reads a song of praise to our God. The 17th century poet and playwright William Congreve originated the saying, "Music hath the charms to soothe a savage breast," often misquoted as savage beast. The play goes on to say that music can soften a rock or bend a knotted oak. Indeed, music is known to have a powerful effect on our moods with its ability to literally move us, some of us better than others. The psalmist proclaims that God can give us a new song, bringing us out of miry bog. Perhaps we should use our everyday sources of music to do just that. Adjust our playlist to more positive songs, Hakuna Matata. Adjust the volume by internally turning down negativity around us and turning up people and things that bring us and the world around us life and hope and love. I shared with Brenda and Kenny last week that while preparing for today's service some weeks ago, I recognize that all too often I am too serious at home. Most of my reading is theologically related or church stuff. Most of the music I listen to is gospel or religious based. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but my Brenda would probably like to hear a little Motown or some Bee Gees. Or really for her, Bon Jovi or Bruno Mars or Taylor Swift or Katy Perry. Life is about balance. And I recognize that I need to be better balanced with my musical playlist. To listen to some upbeat tunes. To have a little fun. To turn off CNN or get the heck off Facebook. And allow music to move me and soothe me. Music moved and soothed Martin Luther King Jr. And it moved and soothed the psalmist. What music might move or soothe you in these challenging days? During the summer, I spent as student minister of First Congregational Church of San Jose, California, back in 2008. I was really fortunate to sing in their amazing choir under the direction of my friend, Christian Lee. And at the Pride event that year, our choir sung a song that has become one of my favorites. I find myself just a singing and a swaying. It's the kind of song that just lifts my spirits. It's a song that makes me just want to get out of whatever funk I might be in and get busy with what I might do to make a difference in my little part of the world. San Jose folks taught me a song that can soothe you and move you. And so I'm going to let one of my favorite groups, Sweet Honey in the Rock, to tell you the history of Ella's song. And then I'm going to see you in here who has a pulse this morning.
This next song that we're going to do with the choir is called Ella's Song. It's named for Ella Baker. Ella Baker was a staunch fighter, a staunch advocate for young people and their involvement in the civil rights movement, one who would sit for hours and listen as young people discussed and debated strategies for how they would move next in whatever direction they decided they wanted to go. These are Ella Baker's words. They were set to music by Bernice Johnson Regan, Ella's Song.
Now these are some very strong words we're saying here, so it means we need everyone to sing with us. The chorus. I'm going to teach you the chorus. I want you to sing it back to me. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes now.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
That's good, but it's weak.
Yes.
There's a lot of things going on in the world right now. There's a lot of freedoms being threatened. Think about it. Here we go.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Good. Now Carol and I will sing the verses, and when it's your turn, come in nice and strong. Ready?
Whenever you are.
Until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is as important as the killing of a white man, a white mother's son. We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
No, no.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
You know, that which touches me most is that I had the chance to work with people.
Was passed on to me. To me, young people go first. They have the courage of where we fail. And if I could but shed some light as they carry us through the gale, we who believe in freedom cannot rest.
Say it like you know it now.
We who believe in freedom.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
Sing it again.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We
tomorrow, we remember and we honor the legacy of one of our heroes. The man who said things like this: the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort or convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. A man who declared his intentions by saying, I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. I'll never be the man that Martin Luther King Jr. was. My words will very likely never be remembered by the masses. But for me, one of the unfortunate things about being a professional singer in the 80s and 90s and 2000s is watching yourself grow up on YouTube. Watching all of those gradual changes in style and technique and everything else over the years, it can be embarrassing. One of the good things, though, is knowing that your music and the message inside the music lives on. Today's lesson is about the song, and it's about the music. The soundtrack, if you will, that carries us through our days. The happy and upbeat ones. The melancholy, internal ones. The sad and downbeat ones. And the angry, loud ones. Sometimes the song points us inside ourselves. But sometimes the song points us upward. Upward toward the God that proves theirself as our source of joy on those happy days. The reminder of our value on the melancholy days. The giver of our strength on the sad days, and the understanding and compassionate ear when we're so mad that sometimes we just want to scream profanities. Sometimes I think God just wants us to just let it out already and say it. But sometimes the thing to do in all of that emotion is to sing. As Marcia mentioned just a few minutes ago, during the days of slavery, sometimes the song was a way to cryptically communicate a message to our fellow workers. Sometimes the song was nothing more than a personal message and a melody for the singer, but no one else. Sometimes the song was a proclamation. A proclamation that might say, you may hold our freedom. You may hold our liberty. You may hold us in chains and you may lock us away. You may hold our family, but you will not. You do not and you cannot hold our spirits. We will sing to our God. We will make music to our Comforter. We will declare our faith. And we will believe our words when we sing. God, I'm willing.